Have you ever found yourself desperately clinging to a relationship that causes more pain than joy? This isn't about loving too intensely. It's about becoming obsessed with emotionally unavailable partners, allowing that obsession to control your emotions, and measuring love by the depth of your torment. Consider Jill, a successful law student who became infatuated with Randy, an attorney she met through friends. Despite his clear warnings not to pressure him, she called constantly and flew to see him twice, only to be ignored during her second visit while he drank beer and watched television. When she finally questioned his drinking, Jill realized she'd never seen him sober, but had dismissed his vague, inconsistent communication as her fault for boring him. Women caught in this pattern share striking similarities. They take responsibility for others' emotions, feel magnetically drawn to emotionally unavailable men, fear abandonment, suffer from critically low self-esteem, and develop an addiction to emotional pain. The roots typically trace back to childhood experiences in dysfunctional homes. When Jill's father was emotionally unavailable, she blamed herself rather than recognizing his limitations. By believing she could win his love if only she changed MF, she maintained an illusion of control, a pattern that continued in her adult relationships.
Sexual intensity in troubled relationships occurs because physical intimacy temporarily releases both bodily and emotional tension. After conflicts, couples often use sex as a way to repair their bond. For women who love too much, the relationship struggle itself heightens sexual intensity, seeming to validate the troubled connection. Trudy's case exemplifies this pattern. Raised by a workaholic father and angry mother in an emotionally empty home, she learned to seek validation through sex with unavailable men. After her parents divorced, she pursued relationships desperately, including a painful affair with a married policeman. Through therapy, she realized she'd been trying to force love from men who didn't want her. Our culture often confuses eros, passionate love defined by yearning, with agape, committed partnership based on mutual support. While passion thrives on struggle, genuine intimacy requires trust and vulnerability, something that challenges those addicted to relationship drama.
This silent plea drives women who love too much, as illustrated by Lisa, an artist raised by an alcoholic mother. As the middle child, she became a caretaker, idealizing her mother while parenting her, a pattern that led to teenage depression and shaped her future relationships. At 19, Lisa married a wealthy Mexican man who claimed to need her, only to discover his family's hatred and his infidelity. Later, she spent 6 years with Gary, a drug user whose intoxicated manner reminded her of her drunk mother. Lisa supported them both while Gary squandered money on drugs and eventually destroyed her artwork, the wake-up call that prompted her to leave. People from dysfunctional homes often gravitate toward partners who mirror their painful early relationships, as these familiar dynamics feel paradoxically right. Those with depression use chaotic relationships as distractions, like addictive drugs, avoiding the greater pain of being alone and confronting past trauma. Women who love too much are drawn to partners who allow them to recreate their childhood emotional patterns. Rather than simply seeking someone like a parent, they're attracted to those who evoke familiar feelings and challenges, enabling them to use well-practiced coping mechanisms. This familiarity feels right, even when deeply dysfunctional. Chloe, who grew up concealing her father's domestic violence, was drawn to Roy's misogynistic attitudes in college. Determined to prove women weren't all bad, she supported him financially while enduring abuse. Her attraction stemmed from Roy representing both her angry father and victimized mother. Through loving him, she unconsciously sought to win her father's love and save her mother. Mary Jane was attracted to Peter's distant demeanor at a party, noting how he never fully engaged with her. This dynamic mirrored her relationship with her absent father, who she rarely saw except when he was doing household repairs. Just as in childhood, she found herself drawn to emotional unavailability.
Women who love too much often try to save troubled men, influenced by the Beauty and the Beast narrative, where a woman's love transforms a monster into a prince. This belief, reinforced by popular media, masks a deeper need for control rooted in dysfunctional childhood experiences. Connie, raised amid constant parental fighting, developed a pattern of using humor to diffuse tension and deny her feelings. This carried into her marriage with Kenneth, where she maintained perfect denial about his chronic infidelity for 12 years. Her denial was so deep that she even dismissed her 9-year-old son's suicide attempt as a joke. Pam, growing up without a father and feeling unwanted by her mother, developed a pattern of helping troubled men. As a psychologist, she approached all relationships through helping and worrying. Only after a failed affair and guidance from her son's probation officer did she learn, through a support group, to stop controlling others and focus on her own healing. Recovery from loving too much follows key steps. Begin by seeking professional help from someone who understands relationship addiction. Make recovery your top priority, redirecting energy from changing others to transforming yourself. Join and regularly attend a support group of peers who understand your struggle. Develop your spiritual practice for peace and broader perspective. Stop managing your partner's life. Cease helping, advising, and problem-solving for them. This only removes their accountability while setting yourself up for blame. Avoid relationship games that prevent real intimacy, especially the tendency to rescue others for self-validation. Face your problems through self-reflection and journaling. Develop yourself independently through career, education, or personal growth. Practice healthy selfishness by prioritizing your well-being without guilt. Finally, share your journey with others, which helps maintain your own progress while supporting those beginning their recovery. True intimacy requires emotional and spiritual nakedness, not just physical vulnerability. While dissolving these boundaries feels frightening, it's only through revealing our authentic selves that we can experience genuine love. And this vulnerability belongs only in relationships built on trust. Trudy's engagement to Hal, a trustworthy man with great talks but no fireworks, illustrates recovery challenges. Her lack of sexual response to this kind man troubled her. Her therapist explained this was common for recovering women who had previously used sexuality to pursue unavailable partners. Without the familiar adrenaline of uncertainty, connecting sexually with a loving partner proved difficult. The therapist helped her see that her discomfort stemmed from fear of true intimacy, being fully known. With Hal, sex became about deepening connection rather than avoiding it. Trudy learned to accept being loved for herself rather than using wild abandon as manipulation. As recovery progresses, relationship patterns evolve. By connecting with others on the same journey, women who once loved too much can embrace a life where love brings joy rather than pain, and being known becomes a gift rather than a fear.